Hello again, this is LaRue Atkinson. We're in our third part of this exciting series, Spiritual Constitution. And today, over this particular teaching and the next teaching, we're going to be establishing the principle of writing the vision. Today, we're going to be talking about the scriptures involved, references concerning writing the vision. In the next series, we're actually going to teach you how to form your own petition before God, your own constitution, the vision, the God-given vision and destiny of your heart and life. We're going to teach you how to write that out the way the Holy Spirit taught me in that initial visitation we talked about in session one. So let's go to the scripture really quick here. Look at Isaiah 55. And if you haven't done so, go ahead and pause the camera. Download the sermon notes because we're going line upon line and we're in Spiritual Constitution 3 here. So just go ahead and grab them and come back to the camera. All right, we're back. All right, look at Isaiah 55. Verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Boy, it takes a long time in life to really learn God's ways. I mean, there's so many times God really wants to teach us these things. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. And remember always this, my friend, when God's word goes out of his mouth, the very first place it goes is into your heart. God's going to seed your garden. He's going to seed the part of you that everything's going to initially proceed from. I believe over there in John, it said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Those rivers were initially planted by the heavens, planted by God. He plants the heavens within our lives so he can reap a harvest in the earth. And look at what he says. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I send it. Here God is literally speaking by faith, and when he sends his word into your heart, he said it's going to not return to him void, that what he planted in your garden is going to be cultivated, it's going to be harvested, and he said it's going to accomplish that which I please. Now these really, God is speaking by faith here because we have a part. You and I have a part in this God-given destiny. When God sows his will in our life, whether by dream, whether by revelation, by rhema word, by prophetic utterance, divine and heavenly encounter. Sometimes God will call people up into the spirit and show them wonderful things. Well, God's planting. How many of you, by way of internet here that I'm talking to, that God is taking you up on a mountain, so to speak, a spiritual mountain, and he's brought you up there and he showed you a panoramic view of your life and your ministry and your calling. And with that panoramic view, you literally receive the faith the day he planted that. I mean, you are ready to charge like a racehorse onto the field the very next day. Every one of us have gone through that. I mean, because when God plants his will and his destiny in our heart, he plants the faith there too. Now, there's going to be a seed time and harvest with that. However, at that moment, you're feeling like you can do it right then. And many of us have made those mistakes if we've gone out there and trying to produce it. We haven't learned the very first things in life. Apart from me, you can do nothing. God's standard operating procedures, he first sows his will, his destiny, his promise into your heart. And then as you, as a garden, begin to cultivate that, incubate it, allow the Holy Spirit to overshadow it, there's a process by which you co-labor in your heart with the Holy Spirit. And for the remainder of this series, we're going to identify that process and give you some very incredible and valuable tools to bring forth that harvest in your life. But today, we have to first establish the principle of writing the vision. My friend, you cannot go any further if you do not write the vision. It's not just to write it and store it in some desk somewhere. No, God wants you to write the vision for a very specific purpose. Listen to Proverbs 29 and 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, I looked up that word perish in the Hebrew, and you know what it means? It says to let go, to loose, to ignore, to neglect. Wow. Let's look at that, read that again. Where there is no vision, the people will neglect. They'll let go. They'll loose. They can't hold tight to it because there's no vision. And I like to say it like this, where there is no vision in front of you, how often does neglect begin to come and take over our life? My friend, we have to place that vision in front of us. Now, when we get on a mountaintop with God, He takes up there and He shows us the panoramic view, but then He gives us very specific instructions of what to do with that. And that is found in Habakkuk chapter 2. Now, go on over to Habakkuk chapter 2 and look at verse 2. Now, you know, Habakkuk, when you get to heaven, he's going to ask you, did you read my book? So you better go on and read his book. But today we're going to look at verse 2 and 3. He said, the Lord answered and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables. Oh, my friend, the more I'm walking with God, the more He's teaching me, the more the Holy Spirit is getting involved in my life, the more important I see of writing the vision. If you have not taken the time, we're dedicating these next couple of messages not only to show you the importance, but to teach you how to write that vision. Because everything we're going to be teaching you after this is how to co-labor that vision that you've written in page form. That he may run that readeth it. You're going to run on the vision. That's how you run with God. That's God's ways. Remember the previous verse there in Isaiah 55? They have not known my ways. My thoughts are higher. My ways are higher. God doesn't do things the way man does them. Amen? Now look at this next verse, verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. You see that? Now He sows the vision in your heart, but then there's an appointed time for that vision. And so many people, when they read that, well, I really have no responsibility. God's going to do it when He gets ready to do it. And I'm just going to have to carry this until God's ready to do it. No, that appointed time, my friend, has everything to do with how you co-labor with the Holy Spirit in what God has sown into your garden. God said He plants the heavens within us there in Isaiah. Now watch the last part of that verse. But at the end, listen to what He says, it shall speak. Wow. The written testimony, the written constitution. I like to call it a constitution because that's the way the Holy Spirit told it to me. Many of you will call it a vision statement, a petition. I call it a constitution, just like in the United States here. Our whole nation for over 200 years had been framed by the original constitution of our forefathers. And I mean, there's been a lot of people that tried to break that constitution, but they've not been able to do it. There's many Americans that enjoy the liberties and freedom of this country and have no idea even what that constitution says, but it is the framework and the foundation by which all things are accomplished. Amen. All right. Listen to what he says here in the latter part of verse 3. It shall speak and not lie. Do you realize that it's going to speak? And I'm finding out, you know where that thing speaks? You know where your constitution speaks? Where your petition? It speaks in your heart. It's amazing. God sows it in your heart. You write it on the page. You co-labor, and we're going to show you how to do that. Some advanced co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. How to co-labor in the garden, in your garden. How the Holy Spirit will get involved. And you too, you and the Holy Spirit get together and begin the process of incubation. The process of feeding and nurturing and attending the vision, attending that garden. I mean, my friend, you can look at any garden in the world. I mean, many of you have homes and you get your landscaping done on a weekly basis. Just allow that landscaping to go for about a month, 6 weeks, 2 months, and all of a sudden it's all grown over with weeds. That's the same way within our heart. We have to constantly attend to the vision, and we're going to teach you how to do that. And it says, it shall speak in its latter end. It's going to speak for you. You know, faith has a voice. Your heart has a voice. But if you do not properly co-labor and get that in written form, because once you get in written form, you're going to sow it right back into your heart again. It's a constant. And we'll teach you all about that. He says, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. Again, God is speaking here in faith. You know how many countless people that have gone on to heaven having been seated by heaven with a call and a destiny and never fulfilled that calling? Do you know how many people have failed and they walk into heaven? Surely salvation's by grace, but they didn't accomplish what God had called them to do. That's not going to be your and I's testimony. We're going to learn how to co-labor with the Holy Spirit. We're going to learn how God does it. If you haven't been down the road yet where you can do nothing of yourself, where you've learned that mighty, mighty principle, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. My friend, that's the first thing we have to learn. We cannot do it in our own sufficiency, but we must learn to do it the way God wants us to do it. Amen? All right, let's look at Philippians chapter 4. There's some wonderful verses here that I want to explore a little bit, and we'll look at verse 6. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God." Now, we've already passed through that particular series where we talked about the asking process, and we actually examined this verse. It says, do not be careful of anything, but by everything, by prayer and supplication. You must bring what God's placed in your heart back to Him. That's the whole nature of forming a petition, a constitution. God sows in your heart, but He wants you to bring it back to Him from the dominion of your heart, because that's where He gets the authority to answer your prayer. God, isn't it marvelous? He sows His will into the dominion of man's heart. And then from that dominion, man asks for it. Now the Holy Spirit has authority to exercise that will and that destiny into the earth. Hallelujah. Now, Ephesians 5:17 is a very powerful verse. If you turn to your Bibles or look at your notes, look at this. It says, wherefore, now this is, I'm reading out of the Amplified now, be you not vague, faultless or foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. Now, there's some very powerful principles here. You cannot be vague. You cannot be thoughtless, and you cannot be foolish. I so get a kick out of people that run up to heaven and they just throw a flippant request to heaven most of the time. Sometimes it's out of frustration. Sometimes it's out of fear. Sometimes their life is not where they want to be, and it's more of a complaint and a murmur than it is a request. It's more like, God, why? How come? When? No, the Bible says you got to know what the will of the Lord is. You can't approach the throne being vague. You can't approach the throne being thoughtless or foolish. You got to know that the entire universe is surrounded and revolves around the throne of God. He is legally bound in the spirit by spiritual law. And when you understand spiritual law and understand that you have a heavenly lawyer, the Holy Spirit is there to assist you, He'll teach you, don't go up there vague. Now you can worship and lay down in the Father's lap all day long, but when it comes time to make your request known unto God, you cannot be vague. You cannot be thoughtless. You can't be foolish. What does it mean to be vague? That means you're just generalities. No, you got to define the will of God. When God speaks something in your heart, you got to put it on page and define it. We're going to teach you how to do that in the next session. You can't be thoughtless. I mean, you've got to put a little bit of effort here, my friend. You know, when a businessman wants even a natural bank to give him a loan for some vision in his heart, he may want to develop a neighborhood, a subdivision, or he may want to build some large edifice building, office buildings. He has to go to a bank to secure funding. He's not going to walk in that banker vague, thoughtless, or foolish. That banker's going to turn him down in a heartbeat. No, he's going to come with a business plan. He's going to come with directives. He's going to lay out the next 10 years and said, here's our projections for this year, next year, next year. He's going to have it all laid down. And that vision in his heart has to come onto the page and be presented. How much more should we not present the visions that have been sown into our life back to the Father? I mean, we're talking about God here, my friend. We can't be foolish. We got to know what the will of the Lord is. Don't go to heaven and not know what the will of the Lord is. Don't approach heaven if it be thy will. You got to know it's His will before you go. No, you got to go and you got to know. In fact, you write that will down. You write it and you get it forever settled in your heart. We're going to teach you a whole message on how to get that thing forever settled in your life. Amen. All right, let's go to Jeremiah 1 and verse 12. I want you to see this particular verse. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. That's why God sows his will into your heart. And what you do is you take that will and you intermingle it with God's word. You find the precedence in God's word. Everything God tells you, somebody's done it. He'll give you scripture for it. God's never going to ask you to do anything outside the confines of his words. So I say, well, I have a large vision. What's this? Stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. Strengthen thy stakes. I mean, you got to stretch forth and enlarge your tent. I mean, God is an enlarging God. He's a stretching God. He wants us to go to the nations. He says, go into all the world. Is that a big enough vision for you? Go into all the world. That's a mighty big vision, my friend. Many times it starts as a seed. You know where that starts? It starts right in the confines of your heart where God visits you with his will and his destiny. Hallelujah. Well, you may say, well, God's not given me his will. And then I'm going to point you to a very powerful scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And if you have your Bible, you're looking on your notes, you turn there and look at verse 4 there. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. It says, hear, O Israel. This is the chief commandment, my friend. When we do this, I promise you, it's going to just be a matter of time for heaven starts visiting your life. The Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and another version says with all thy body, with all thy mind, spirit, soul, and body. In other words, your whole life. You must love the Lord your God with all of your being. My friends, if you'll fall in love with God and recapture that first love and surrender him daily and begin fellowshipping with him, it's just a matter of time that the Holy Spirit's going to begin aligning you with the purposes of heaven. God's got a will for you. He wants you to love him with all your heart for all of your days in the earth. And he wants you to surrender to his will for your life. But if you're out there doing your own will, and you never can make even so much 5 minutes for God, and you know, you come to church here and there, my friend, you're not serious with heaven. You want to do life your way. And because you're doing life your way, you may not see or hear the will of God. It may take you years. Many times God in his grace and mercy will align a meeting for you, and some prophet may call you out and speak your destiny because he can't give it to you personally. And I'm not saying just because he can't, he'll send a prophet. But I've had many prophetic words, confirming words, beautiful words, many mountaintop experiences. God gives you these for a reason. Many dreams. He gives you this to seed your garden. Oh, don't discount what God's saying. You've got to record these things, my friend. It's vitally important to the process of heaven to bring that word into the earth. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You're going to have to get it out from here into the earth. And that is a process. I mean, it's a mighty big process. Amen. Look at Exodus 34. Again, we're just laying the groundwork. I'm trying to explain and to you the importance of writing the vision. I got to get you stirred up to write it. Because the next particular teaching, we're going to teach you how to write it. I mean, we're going to go in detail. Amen. Exodus 34:27. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. I mean, God throughout the Bible, history, we wouldn't even have this Bible if men were not originally obedient to God and writing what he told them to write. Many of these men had no idea that God was going to make the things they were writing a permanent part of the scripture for 2,000 years later. Paul probably had no idea the letters he was writing to Philippi and to Ephesus in Corinth, that these were going to be a part of the canon of the scripture. He was just writing letters because of its advanced place and because of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God made it a permanent part of the Bible. When you write the vision God gave you, it will be permanently recorded into heaven. But God wants it permanently recorded in your heart. He wants to paint that picture in your heart. Because that's where he birthed it from, my friends. Exodus 17. Again, we're talking about scriptures of writing the vision. Verse 13. I just felt compelled of the Holy Spirit to stir you up because I know many of you love God, but you know, I've pastored a church for over 10 years and I've been around the gospel for a little while. And I, you know, there's not very many people that carry the visions around with them. There's not, I mean, sometimes people are just spiritually lazy. They got too many things to do and they don't have any idea that their destiny is living within them and they've got to learn how to co-labor with it. And if you don't write it, you're going to have a very difficult time co-laboring. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you're taking notes, you write this down. On the mountain top, God gives you, He shows you the panoramic view of your calling and destiny. I mean, He lays it out for you. You see it, the faith comes, but it's in the valley where everything grows, my friend. And when you go into the valley, that's where that vision's going to grow. But here's the difficult part. Seeing what God showed you on the mountain while you're in the valley. How many of you can attest to that truth? You can remember the days God spoke to you, but 6 months later, oh, there's such a haze. You're back in the warfare. You're back in the trials. I mean, you're dealing with the pressures of life and the confusions and all of this thing. And all of a sudden, it seems what God said on that mountain's all swallowed up. And it's just a distant future. You're going to have to take that distant future and pull it right back into your present, my friend. You must bring it back into your present. And that's why if you'll write it on the mountaintop the way you get it, when you're in the valley, you'll have it right in front of you. And when the enemy comes, and he's going to come, you're going to have it right there in front of you and say, no, 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 no. What you're presenting to me through these trials is fact, but this is truth. This is who I am. I'm not going to allow you to dictate who I am. I'm going to allow the Word of God, this testimony, this petition, this constitution, this vision statement, I'm going to allow it to dictate who I am. Oh, glory be to God. I think we should just raise our hand and thank the Lord. I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Oh, precious Holy Spirit, we surrender to you today. We welcome you today. Teach us. Our heavenly lawyer, we welcome you. We welcome you. We need. We know how to ask. We've learned, but now we've got to go down that process of seeking. We got to know how to co-labor with you so you can bring us to the door where all the bread of what we're asking for lives. Help us, Holy Spirit. Be our lawyer. Be our comforter. Be our teacher. Amen and amen. Just a couple more scriptures and we'll be through with this particular session. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now this particular scripture we're going to be into quite a lot over the next couple of series here. Over the next couple of teachings, but I just want you to see one particular verse, verse 9. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and upon thy gates. He told them, write it. Write what I've said to you. Put it on your post. Put it on your gate. One coming in, twice coming in, twice going out. Every day you go out, you see it. Every day you come in. You see it. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Not only does he say that, he repeats it again 5 chapters later. He goes, and just in case you didn't get this in chapter 6, I'm going to give it to you again right here. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 20 says the exact same thing. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates. Again, my friend, I cannot express to you the importance of having your vision in front of you. Having it in the palms of your hands. I carry my vision statements in my briefcase. I put them on my walls. I want to surround my life with what God has said. Because I know I have an enemy that's going to surround my life. Have God said. And here's his chief tactic. Have God said. And every circumstance and every trial he presents to me, it always has, have God said this? Have God said this? Always trying to remind you who you are, not what you shall be. No, I want to look into who I am with God, the shall be. The God that calls things that be not as though they were. Against hope, believing hope, Abraham became the father of many nations. Having been fully persuaded. Where do you think he was fully persuaded at? In his heart? Abraham, he was seated by God over 5 different times God visited him, telling him, seeding his imagination. Look, Abraham, the stars of the heaven. Look, Abraham, the sand of the sea. Do you see it? this is your descendants, Abraham. By the way, I'm God, and I don't do things the way man does. If you want a birth and see this birth, Abraham, you're going to have to believe me. Wow. Well, after about 11 years, Abraham and Sarah, they grew very discouraged, and they tried to help God out a little bit. Oh, my friends, we all do that. Try to help God out. It's part of our growth. But God has to remove that capacity to birth Ishmael. So he went ahead and let Abraham do it. Didn't stop him. You know, God's not going to violate your will. He's not going to stand in front of him when you don't do it his way. But he does let us eat the fruit of our errors, so we'll learn. So after that process and that birth of Ishmael, guess what? God said it's going to be a long time, because Abraham was 84 at that time. 86. He received the promise at 75. God said, all right, I'm going to wait till everything in you's dead. I'm going to wait till everything in Sarah's dead. And then how are you going to help me out? I'm going to close the womb. Now you're going to have to birth completely by faith, by promise. Not by works, by promise. My friend, we have to learn how to birth by promise. That's what this whole entire series is about. Birthing by promise. We're going to teach you how to do that. Powerful, powerful things are on their way in this series. A couple more scriptures for you. Hebrews 6 and 12. That you be not slothful, but followers of them through faith and patience inherit the promise. Wow. 2 Peter 1 and 4. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. Amen, amen. It's been my pleasure teaching today, and we're excited about the next series. So just tune in for the next series. We're going to be teaching you how to write the vision. God bless you. Amen.